Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Scripture presents the Lord's church in a variety of ways. It is often compared with things with which we already have considerable knowledge. Now our lesson will consider the church in two ways, as a building and as a body. Now we have no difficulty understanding what a building is. We know the components of it, the important parts of it, its purposes, and other such information. Therefore, let us take our knowledge of buildings and learn how the church is like a building. In Matthew 16:16 through 18, this is what we read. And Simon answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Friend, Jesus said he was going to build something. What would he build? Therefore, whatever he would build was like a building. And that building that he built was the church. In 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11, we are informed of the foundation upon which the church is built. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. It is the truth that Jesus is the Son of God that is the rock upon which the church stands. Anything built by Christ, anything built upon Christ, must command the serious consideration of every person who expects to go to heaven by Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, 19 through 22. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and being built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye are also builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Now this kind of language is sent to the church in Ephesus. And throughout this paragraph, once more, we see the church presented to us as a building. The foundation mentioned here is that of the apostles and prophets, and that is, they're considered the foundation only in terms of the message they preached, which was Jesus Christ. And again, the whole existence and support of the church rest upon the person, Jesus Christ. It is for this reason that Paul said, we preach Christ. And Christ is the cornerstone. Now the cornerstone of a building, especially in ancient construction, was the most important stone of the structure because everything was ultimately measured by that stone. And in fulfillment of prophecy in Isaiah and in the book of Psalms, and as Peter wrote, this cornerstone is Jesus Christ. And will you please notice that this building is fitly framed together? Why, we have seen constructions in our time that were so sloppily done, the doors sagged, the windows were out of line, the walls were not straight, the floors were not level. Not so with the Lord's church. Like the temple built by Solomon, every piece fit perfectly with one another. And so it is in the church when the church is as the Lord designed, as he erected it to be. And like the temple, the church is the habitation of God. And this we're taught in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19 and 20. And when we turn to 1 Peter 2 and verse 5, we again see the church presented as a building. Peter wrote, Ye also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. These Christians to whom Peter wrote made up a house, a building, a spiritual house. They were the stones, living stones, that composed this house. And sometimes we hear people say, the church is not a building, and certainly in the sense materially of which they are speaking, this is correct. The church is not a physical edifice, but it is a building in that it is a spiritual house. And this distinction has been made necessary because some have made laws regarding the use of church buildings. The church building is not the church, and they make laws that God has never ordained. The stones that make up the church are people, living people, saved people, redeemed people. Yes, the church is a spiritual building. But the Bible also presents the church as a body, indeed the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, 22 and 23, "And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." Ephesians 3 and verse 6 called the members of the Ephesian church fellow members of the body. The gospel is for both Jew and Gentile, but it is where they are reconciled in one body. Ephesians 2:16, "And that body is the church." Like any normal body, there is one head, and the head has only one body. The head of the church is Christ, Colossians 1:18. The church is the body. In Ephesians 4 and verse 4 tells us there is one body. Now, what does this do to the doctrine that one church is just as good as another church, except to explode it? Such a doctrine that one church is just as good as another church is obviously false, because there is but one body. There is but one church with God's approval. And the church is not composed of humanly devised and organized denominations, something of which the Scripture reveals absolutely nothing. The Scripture does condemn the division denominationalism propagates, upon which it feeds. But the Bible does not speak of the bodies of Christ, but the body of Christ. And this harmonizes with what Jesus said in Matthew 16 and verse 18, when he said, "I will build my church," church in the singular. An outstanding significance of the presentation of the church as a body is the necessity of oneness, and of harmony, and of unity, and the cooperativeness of the members of the body, being of one mind and one judgment. The church as a body pictures for us the relationship that we have one to another, as well as to Christ the head. It presents the duties we have to Christ and to one another in the operation as a body. In 1 Corinthians 12:12 through 27, we have an extensive passage denoting the one church being composed of many members who are individual Christians. This is so easily understood, as well as the implications of it, and we need not belabor the point any further. The church is the body of Christ, just as it is a building, and other ways that the Lord has presented the church to us. There are other ways that we study from time to time that show us the nature and the composition of the church and its distinctiveness. It is always important, however, that we recall how Christ is the Savior of the body. Ephesians 5, verse 23. And from this we cannot escape the necessity and the importance of being a member of the Lord's church, the Lord's body. In fact, we must be among those living stones to enter heaven. We must be a member of the church to see God in all of His glory, and we should want to be a part of that church. We become a member of the church through faith and repentance, confession of Christ, and baptism into Christ. And then we rise from that watery grave, a new creature in Christ, as a stone in the spiritual house, as a member of the spiritual body. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.